Well, good morning, everybody, and we welcome you to this very first Sunday in November. If you are watching online, we welcome you this morning. Also, it is Communion Sunday, so if you're at home watching with us, I ask that you go to the kitchen and that you get a drink of a cup, whatever's in it, tea, water, whatever you like to put in it, coffee, as well as finding some sort of bread or cracker to break with us when we take communion this morning. Just again, want to thank everybody that helped out with our Wednesday night meals. We had our last one this past Wednesday night, and once again had a wonderful turnout for it. So thank you to everybody that made those meals possible. We'll be starting up again in April. So take a couple months off into the new year, depending upon the weather, and get back at it with April and go from April to June. So again, we look forward to the spring and starting those up again. Also, if you are a man of the church, don't forget that this coming Saturday at Hinkle's at 9 o'clock is our men's breakfast. We'd love to see you there just for some time to get together and talk and to catch up on things. Thanksgiving is around the corner, and as you saw this morning when you walked in, there is a sign-up board right by the Welcome Center. It is broken down by different hours, so that if you can't serve the entire time, you can maybe hopefully serve an hour, and there's different places you can serve, so if you would please sign up accordingly, we will need all the help we can get for the Thanksgiving service. If you are at home and you would like to join us for Thanksgiving and help out, you can email us at cumc@comcast.net, and we will get you plugged in to volunteering at the Thanksgiving meal if you would like to do that, if you're at home and watching and would like more information about that. Also, just a reminder that in the back we have the new birthdays for November that is out, as well as the poinsettia orders. You have 3 Sundays to order poinsettias. So I encourage you, if you want a poinsettia, to please take the form, and there's an envelope right in front of it. Fill it out, take the envelope, put it in the envelope, put in the offering plate, or you can drop it through the little slot in the office window, and we'll make sure that we get your order form for Christmas Eve. So I want to encourage you, don't wait to the last minute to order your poinsettias. They are $10 each, and I believe the colors are red, pink, marble, and white. So if you have any questions, you can see me after the service. Also, today when you came in, there is a bucket of rocks in the back. If you did not get one, please make sure you do get one, because you will be using that rock today as part of the service. So as we're worshiping together, if you need to walk back quietly to go back just to get one little pebble, I encourage you to do that, because we will be using them this morning as part of the service. So today, as we come and we give thanks and we give praise to Jesus for all he's done for us, we give him thanks for November, the fall leaves, the trees changing color. I don't know about you, but it's been awesome this year just to drive around and see the trees changing color. They've been very bright and vibrant, and just a reminder of our God and his imagination and just how all things work in order together. So let us this morning stand and let us begin to worship our Lord and Savior and give him thanks and praise for all he's done for us. Let us stand together.
Lord, praise the Lord, and we are here.
we come this morning and we sing how great you are, how amazing you are, Lord, that you never leave us or forsake us, that you are always there with us each step of the way, that even when we don't feel your presence, you still are there walking beside us. As the psalmist says, I go down to the depths and you are there with me. I go to the farthest side of the ocean and you are there with me. We cannot run from your presence, God. And we thank you, God, for not allowing us to run, but to always be there waiting for us to come back to you. We give you thanks, God, and we pray this morning that if there's anything we've said or done this week, that you would forgive us of that. And renew our hearts and our minds today, God, as we come before you and we continue to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. We pray, God, your blessing to be poured out on the offering that was given today, that it will continue to be used to point others to you, Lord, that they might come to know you. So, God, we come now, and as we are in your presence, we humble ourselves before you. And we say, God, we're here because of you, not because of us, but because of you. So, Lord, we come now and we continue to kneel before you, to worship you, and to honor you. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And this morning, as we continue to worship and we prepare to hear the word that God has given to us today, just allow the Spirit to work in your life. Listen to the lyrics of the song that will be sung. You want to hold your hands up and worship this morning, hold your hands up. If you want to clap, clap. If you want to get on your knees, get on your knees. However you feel comfortable worshiping today. You're not worshiping before us. You're worshiping before God. This is not about us. It's about God. So feel free. Just let the Spirit fall upon you now and give thanks for how great our God is. Let us continue to sing together. That is our prayer this morning, that God's Spirit would fall fresh upon us. I did want just to make one more announcement, and that is that the Christmas Eve choir practice will begin right after the service today. If you are interested in being a part of that, stay right after the service right here in the sanctuary, and Melody will give you information about the Christmas Eve choir. So if you want to be a part of that, please stay after the service. Let us pray together. Lord, I come before you now, and I ask, Lord, that you would open our hearts, our minds, open our ears, that we might hear from you. And I pray, God, that the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, will be acceptable in your sight, O God. Amen. I want to start out with reading Ephesians chapter 4 this morning, verses 31 through 32, to set the context for today's sermon. Ephesians 4, 31 through 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, slandering, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ has forgiven you. There was a story about an individual who went to Taco Bell, and he got very upset as he went to Taco Bell because the individual forgot to put his chalupa in his meal. And as a result, this 6'3", 245-pound football player from Kansas State University decided that he was going to climb through that drive-through window that was 14 by 16 inches. Sure enough, he did. And as he was climbing through that window, all of a sudden the employees rushed to the back of the room and they called the police. And as soon as the police pulled up, they were laughing hysterically. All they could see is this 6'3", 243-pound football player's feet dangling out the window with his butt, while the other half of him was stuck through the other side of the window, and they couldn't help to laugh. The sergeant that was on duty came by and basically said, "Well, you know, with somebody that big, something's got to give somewhere." He was so angry that he didn't get his chalupa from Taco Bell that he climbed through the window to make sure that the employee would give him his chalupa. Now, we would say, well, that's a silly story, Pastor Tom. We would never, ever do that. I mean, how many times have we gone to Taco Bell when we missed our Mexican pizza or our chalupa or tacos, and we've never climbed through the window? Well, it's a simple illustration that shows that the individual probably didn't climb through the window because he didn't get his chalupa. It was probably because of the baggage that he was carrying around with him that led up to that moment in his life where it was just a breaking point where he was just like, I can't take it anymore. I didn't get my chalupa. And so he was going to take it out on the workers in Taco Bell. You see, we have experiences that we hang on to in our life, the baggage that we hang on to that begins to develop in us, reside in us, and eventually comes out in different forms and fashions. And sometimes it can come out in the simplest form, like when we don't get something at Taco Bell. You see, for too long, many people have been walking around carrying the baggage of years of mistake, hurt, pain, bad choices. And when we look at Jesus, Jesus does not condemn us. He says, our past is gone, our past is forgiven, but because we continue to hold on to things, we don't let go of it, that we don't experience that grace that God gives to us. The grace that says, it's okay, move on, put that baggage aside, living free. Some of that baggage that we carry around with us is bitterness, anger of past things. Some of it's frustration of current situations that we're living through. Things that can spill over into our current, into our future relationships with individuals that create collateral damage. All because we haven't let go of the baggage that we hold on to. We have to let it go. We have to choose forgiveness, repentance, to be kind and tenderhearted and loving to others. But going back to Ephesians chapter 4 this morning as I open today, there are some things here that tell us why we hold on to the baggage. That Paul says there are some things that we struggle with, that we constantly hold on to with our baggage, that says you need to get rid of these things. And Ephesians 4, 31 through 32 gives us seven specific things that we hold on to at times. The first is bitterness, Paul says. Rage, anger, brawling, stirring up fights and quarrels, slandering or gossiping. Did you know about so-and-so? I can't believe that so-and-so did this. Every form of malice, and the last one he says is unforgiveness. Not letting go of the wrongs that have hurt us. These are just seven forms that Paul says that we struggle with, but the list could go on and on and on because there are so many different things that we hold on to with our baggage. We carry them around with us. Where do they come from? Well, they come from our experiences. They come from how we've lived life from when we were a child to when we're a young adult, teenager, to when we are an adult, to now where we are living in our current state of life. That this is where the baggage comes from. It's from our life experiences, and they draw us, they form us. And sometimes experiences can be good and bad, and those bad experiences, so many times we tend to hold on to. It's interesting because if, you know, you would ask me about my childhood and say, well, Pastor Tom, tell me about your childhood, I'd have to stop and pause for a second and go, well, what part of my childhood do I share? Do I just share the good experiences I had, or do I share the bad experiences I had? Because they're a part of me. They shape who you are as an individual. But you have a choice to make. Do you let go of that baggage from the past? Or do you still hold on to it? That you're still angry. You're still upset. I can still hold on the baggage and be angry and upset that my dad only made one of my soccer games for the 4 years that I played soccer in high school. I could be angry and upset and still hold that against him and say, you know what? Your work was more important to you than it was coming to see your son play. But what good would that do? My relationship with my dad would not be good like it is today. My dad and I had some hardships. We had some rocky roads. But thank goodness my relationship with my dad and my mom today are so good that we call each other at least once or twice a week to see how we're doing and what's going on. Because all those bad experiences, the things that you can hold on to, you need to let go of and put it aside and focus on the things that are positive, the things that we can remember and give thanks for. But so many times we hold on to the things from the past. So many times we don't let go of them. Surely, I don't know about you, but I don't wake up every morning and go, well, good morning, it's a new day. And you can ask Melody about this. I don't wake up and go, well, today's a new day to wake up to be bitter and angry. I can't wait. Any of you do that? Did you wake up this morning and say, it's Sunday morning. I can't wait to go to church. It's another day of worship to be bitter and angry. Any of you do that this morning? No, we don't do that. None of us wake up every morning and go, you know what, today's a day I'm going to be frustrated, I'm going to be upset, today's a day I'm going to be angry or mad. We don't do that. We wake up and we say, okay, today's a new day, we're going to see how it goes, and then as our day goes, different things happen throughout our day that trigger what we call baggage. I remember that's the one thing when Melanie and I were going through marriage counseling together, and the counselor said, you know what, there's going to be these things we call triggers in your life. And these triggers, something's going to happen in your life, something innocent that has nothing to do with anything, is all of a sudden going to trigger something from your past and take you back to your past. And then all of a sudden, the other person's going to look at you and go, why are you responding this way? Because they're not going to understand that something that happened that was innocent triggered something in their mind from the past. And I'll tell you, that was the most helpful information that we got, was realizing, okay, well, why am I feeling this way? Because so many times in our lives there are what we call those triggers that take us back to something from the past. And then we unpack that baggage again. And we say, oh, yes. And we begin to relive that baggage all over again, because that's what life is about. Every single day in our life, we are going to be tempted to relive our baggage and to put it back on and carry it with us. You see, what are some other ways that we can do this? Well, we can just do it just by not offering help, not reaching out to others, not saying, hey, can you encourage me? Can you pray for me? And just saying, I got to do this by myself. It's my burden to bear. It's nobody else's burden to bear. So how is it that we can identify this baggage in our lives? How is it that we can identify the things that we're holding on to? Well, first, we need to bring it to light. We need to realize that we have baggage and that we're bringing it with us. I need to realize that I have baggage and I'm bringing it with me. I'm bringing it with me to being a pastor, to being a husband, to being a father, to being a friend, that I have my own personal baggage, and guess what? I'm going to bring that baggage with me wherever I go. I need to bring it to light. But bringing it to light means that I need to deal with it, that that I don't let that baggage control me, that I'm the one who says, you know what, I'm going to deal with this baggage and not let this baggage control me and control my life anymore. That yes, it's a part of me, but it doesn't mean that's who I am. I'm not going to let that baggage define me. I'm not going to let that baggage write the rest of my story. I'm going to change the narrative, bringing it to light, getting rid of it, letting it go. 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet we walk in the darkness, we lie, and we do not live by the truth. If we claim we're Christians and we're walking with God, but we don't acknowledge the baggage that we have, if we don't acknowledge that we need help getting rid of that baggage, we're walking in darkness and we're lying to ourselves. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, and we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we come before God and say, I have this baggage, I don't like it, I don't want it, then God will say, it's gone, it's forgiven, it's there no more. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 13, Paul tells us how we have been rescued from the dominion of darkness, that we share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. That things like bitterness and anger, malice, frustration, unforgiveness, slander are all characteristics of the world system. Remember we said last week to be in the world, not of the world? Those are things of the world. Things that we're holding on to of the world. Those are not things of God's kingdom. Those are not things that will point us to his light. It is so important for us to every single day evaluate our lives, to evaluate our relationship. Remember last week, I asked ourselves, are we producing more fruit than we did the week before? Are we loving more than we did the week before? We need to evaluate the fruit in our lives. If we're not having fruit and we cannot show fruit in our lives, then maybe it's because the baggage we're still holding on to. When we identify and recognize the baggage in our lives, we need to bring it to light. We need to confess it and ask for forgiveness in some cases and extend forgiveness to others. Now you might say, well, Pastor Tom, the baggage I'm carrying was done to me. The baggage I'm carrying was something I didn't do to others. It was done to me. And I understand that. That maybe growing up, you didn't have a very good relationship with your mom and dad, and maybe there were things that happened. Maybe you were in a marriage relationship, and maybe things didn't go well, and things were said and done to you, and you're still holding on to them. Maybe it was a family member who has done something to you or said something. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a neighbor. You say, Pastor Tom, you just don't know the baggage that I'm holding on to. I would love to get rid of it, but you don't know how deep and how heavy the baggage is. You're right. I don't know it, but God does know it. We all have different baggage that we bring. We all have different baggage that we carry. And sometimes that's where that forgiveness comes in that we have to work through and say, although I've been hurt, although I've been wrong, I'm going to seek out the support that I need. I'm going to seek out the counsel I need so that I can work through my baggage. You know, I'll tell you, as a pastor, the one thing we were always told that is, if you needed to go talk to a counselor, then there was a problem with you. And I will tell you that I always viewed counseling as a bad thing because it meant there was something wrong with you. That if you had to go to counseling and talk to somebody about your problems, especially if you're a pastor and you have to talk to a counselor about your problems to get help, then there must be something wrong with you. And I always viewed counseling in a negative light because it meant that I was broken. It meant there was something wrong with me. But you know, that's not what counseling is about. Counseling is a way for all of us to get the help we need to make ourselves better individuals. Counseling helps us to get a different perspective on things so that we're able to have tools to put in our toolbox to grow, to mature, and to work through all the baggage that we carry around with us. I want to encourage you here this morning, if you are here and you are in a place where you just need somebody to talk to, I encourage you to reach out to myself and I will talk to you or get you the name of somebody that you can talk to that can get you the help you need to work through whatever baggage you're holding on to. Talking to somebody, acknowledging that we have baggage, acknowledging that we need help is not a weakness, it is a strength. And do you know how many years it took me to realize that, that it's not a weakness, a strength? Especially if you're a male, folks. Let me talk to the guys here for a minute. In our society, we are told as a male that we are supposed to be strong and that we are supposed to keep our emotions in check. We're not supposed to cry. We're always supposed to just pretend like we have it all together. And that is the biggest lie that you will ever buy into in this world. I bought into that lie for so many years of my life. Got to be strong for the kids. I got to be strong for myself. I cannot cry because that's weakness. It's vulnerability. And as a man, we're supposed to be strong. We are supposed to be the defenders and the protectors of things. So showing emotion and showing the fact that we have a weakness, that's a vulnerability. It's not a strength. Men, that is the furthest lie that we can buy into. It's okay to cry. In fact, you know what? I think it's probably great to cry because it shows the fact that, you know what? We need help just like everybody else does. You know, crying shows our kids that we struggle just like they struggle, that we don't have it all together. As men, we don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to be perfect. We don't have to be this big fortress or this big rock that everything falls upon us and we got to carry the weight of the world around us. No, as men, we need to go before God and say, you know what, God, I'm struggling and I need your help. That as men, we need to acknowledge that we have baggage and that we cannot bear it by ourselves as well. We need to bring it to light. To a God who is faithful and just, a God who purifies, a God who forgives, trying to walk in the light. And again, you might say, well, Pastor Tom, I would love to do that, but you just don't know the baggage I have. Well, you know, one thing I've had to realize is I need to trust the process. And what I mean by that is that when I look at my own life, I have to ask myself, do I really trust God for who God is? Do I really trust that God will take my burdens? Do I really trust that God will forgive me? Do I really trust that God will give me the strength to carry on? Do I really trust God and who he is? Now this morning you're probably wondering, why did Pastor Tom start his sermon and then begin to walk down the pew and has been wearing a backpack now? Well, I'm not going back to school, but the reason I'm wearing a backpack is this backpack symbolizes my own baggage. It symbolizes my failures as a father, as a husband, as a pastor. It symbolizes my childhood experiences, my young adult experiences, my teenage experiences, my adult experiences. It symbolizes everything that I have dealt with and still have to carry upon myself at times. My backpack, my baggage. And so many times I wear it around, and so many times, guess what? It gets heavier and heavier and heavier and heavier. And so many times you feel the weight of the world upon you like you cannot move on. And so many times I have to ask myself with this backpack, why can't I get it off? I don't understand. I'm trying to take it off, but it won't come off. I don't want to wear this backpack anymore, but I can't get it off. And I have to ask myself, well, why is that? Do I trust God? Do I trust his process? Even one that can be a long and difficult process. One that can sometimes take months and even years to heal from, to move on from, to release that baggage to him. The reason I can't let go of my baggage is because I'm not giving it over to God. I'm still holding on to it. The reason I can't let go of my baggage is because sometimes I don't want to. Let's be honest. Sometimes we don't like to let go of our baggage, because it begins to define us and who we are. It becomes so much a part of us that we forget who we are. And that if we were to take that baggage off, we're afraid of, well, what's going to happen next? What am I going to do now? What am I going to have to complain about? Who am I going to blame this time? And so we're scared to let go of that baggage. We get frustrated and we keep it on because it's too much work to take it off. You see, every day, We're all faced with a choice to say, God, here's my baggage. It's yours. And every day we have a choice to come before God and lay it at his altar and say, God, this is yours. It's no longer mine. It's yours. But we also have a choice every day to come back to that altar and say, well, God, you know what? I think I like my backpack. I think I like it on my shoulder, and I think I'm going to keep it, God. We have a choice every day to whether or not we're going to continue to carry the backpack and hold on to it, or if we're going to give it up and give it to God and stick it at the altar. It's difficult because every day we're going to be tempted to pick that backpack up again because it's been a part of us for so long that we don't know what to do with it. You see, the thing about carrying a backpack, though, is it's not always a bad thing. That by carrying a backpack, it reminds us the fact of who God wants us to be in him. That God wants us to trust him. And that backpack, to me, sometimes is a reminder of, okay, I need to humble myself before you. I need to let you be in control. I need to allow you to mold me and shape me into the person that you want me to be so that I can be a better pastor, better husband, a better friend, a better father. But that only happens when we lay the backpack down. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, it is God's will that we should be sanctified. And that is a lifelong process, folks. As we talked about last week, it is not a perfection state. Every single day, it's a process. Every single day, I have to ask myself, do I trust God? Do I trust God to take that backpack? And do I trust God to help me to work through what I'm going through? That he will give me the strength and that he will give me the peace to overcome that baggage that I've been holding on to for so long? Do I trust that he has a plan and purpose for my life? Do I trust that he will work all things together for good to those who love him? Do I trust that even with that baggage I'm carrying, that good can still come out of that baggage? That God can still take that mess of things that I've been carrying around and that God can make something good come out of it? There will be many situations in our lives that we don't want to put that backpack down. But how we answer those questions will determine whether we're going to hold on to that suitcase and that baggage and that backpack, or whether we're going to give it to God at the altar. Whether or not I'm going to allow God to give me the peace and to be the person that God created me to be. We're going to be having communion here in just a couple minutes. What better way this morning than to come forward to God's table, to symbolically put your backpack down at the altar, to lay it down before him. This morning, as I encourage you to take a rock, I hope each of you has a rock. If not, please get one before you come up for communion. And that rock that you are taking is going to be a symbol of the baggage that you are carrying. The baggage that you've been holding on to. The baggage that you don't want to give up. And this morning, as I'm standing up front here, I'm going to have an offering plate. Well, that's weird, Pastor Tom. We have an offering plate. We're going to put our rocks in an offering plate. Yes, why? Because we're going to be offering that baggage to God. We're going to be giving that back to God this morning and saying, God, it's yours. It's not mine. I'm tired of carrying it. I'm tired of wearing it. I'm tired of being tired and weary. And so this morning, as you come forward for communion, I want you to bring that rock forward, and the offering plate will be right here on the table, and as you come, just drop it in that offering plate. It's a symbol of giving it up to God, that God will take control of things. You see, today is a good day to let go, folks. Today is a good day to put that baggage down. Today is a good day to say, I'm tired of carrying it by myself. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, Let us throw off everything that hinders us. Let us throw off that backpack. Let us throw off that baggage, the sin that is so easily entangled. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, considered him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that we, you and me, would not grow weary and not lose heart. Do you trust God? If so, today's the day. Today's the day to let it go. As we prepare our hearts for communion this morning, listen to the words of the song. This time, if you would like to grab your communion elements to partake with us this morning. United Methodist Church has an open table because God's table is open to all. No restrictions. God's grace is for everybody. So everybody can partake in God's goodness and grace this morning as we come to his table. At this morning, if Dylan and Cody would please come forward. And as we come before the table this morning, stand right here. And then Cody, if you will stand on the other side. And this morning, as we come to the table, we are reminded of what Christ did for us. He took our baggage. He took our backpacks. Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. As he's beaten, his body was broken. And he did that for you and for me. And then, as his blood was shed and the crown of thorns was shoved in his head, and as he was just there on the cross as that perfect sacrifice, and he says, "Father, into my hands I commit my spirit, for it is finished." We are reminded of the blood of Christ that was shed for you and for me to finish everything, that we might be forgiven and free. So this morning, as you come forward, go ahead and take a cup, and as you're seated, then I will give you instructions. But as you come forward this morning, I want to encourage you again, as you place that stone right in this offering plate this morning, that you're giving that baggage to God and saying, "God, I'm giving it up to you." And you're putting it there and leaving at his feet. This morning, come as you feel led. Come as the Spirit leads you, as we partake in God's grace and forgiveness that is offered to each of us. And on that night, he took bread, he broke it, and gave thanks, and said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Take and eat." And then he took the cup, and he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, given for the forgiveness of your sins. Take and drink." This morning, as you came forward, you put your baggage and offered it to God. And it's not ours anymore, and we're going to give this to God this morning and lift it up before the altar. So God, as we come before you now, we place our baggage before you on your altar, God. And we give you this baggage, Lord, for you to carry it for us, that we don't have to carry it anymore. We give you thanks and praise for all you've done for us. Give us peace now and strength, God. And may we all walk together in God's grace and His forgiveness and renewal each day, choosing to lay our baggage at His feet because of what Christ has done for us. Amen. Let us stand and give thanks to God for all He has done.
Glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, His precious blood atoning, and I repented of my sins and won the victory. The victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me and knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me through victory, beating the cleansing flood.
Victory, if we're just willing to let go and let God. I want to encourage all of us this week as we leave this place to let go and to let God. May the grace and peace of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with you now forevermore. Amen and amen. May you go in peace.